Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. You know the drill. You know the signature.
Let's go.
Every week. Drop it.
Hey. Make it do it too.
Yes, sir. America, we are again talking sports with the 12th man. You know how we do it? Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. It don't matter. We're always doing it.
Saturday,
we are ready to roll.
Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Very nice. I like it. We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. Man, it feels so good to be back in this place, in this arena. But before we do this party, I just want to let you guys know I'm going to retire after the show. So it's been my last show.
Oh, gosh.
You guys.
Oh, wow.
So I just want to let you know, man. It's been fun here. So,
boom.
You know, what I did.
That's already been done.
Boom. Wait until at the end of the show to do that. No, I'm just joking, man. No, it's been an interesting week. It's been a crazy week, right? A lot of things have been happening.
Yeah.
I'm joking, America. I'm not retiring yet, man. We'll talk about that later, too. But, again, let's get this party started. A lot of shout-outs to my August birthday folks, man. It's still keeping it going, all
yes,
that fun
sir.
Stuff, too, man. So, again, let's have some fun here. Let's check in with my fellas. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. You weren't ready for that Alexander O'Neal, was you? I threw it back on you. I'm good, bro. I had another game I had to direct and kind of fly solo, but it was probably one of my best shows yet doing it, so that gives me a little pep in my step, especially after the game yesterday was 3 hours and 45 minutes. With a 20-minute range delay, it was awful. So I am glad I'm actually able to make the show and I'm still alive and not as tired as my homeboy, Rob. How you doing?
Yeah, Rob's going to be wilding out. Like we talked about, Rob put 25 tackles here, woke up at 4. He's trying to power through. But, again, we appreciate you, JQ, man. Hopefully we get some shots to you in the studio, man. It's kind of seeing you in action, man, because make it do what it do for sure, man. That's always awesome, man.
I appreciate it.
Speaking of the other half, Mr. Robert Ford, how are you feeling this evening, bro? Should we even ask?
Man, feel like a champion, ready to get this party started. Got to give a special shout-out to River Ridge, Louisiana, a suburb of New Orleans, Little League Baseball World Champions, represented the United States, and then went on to win the World Championship. Good buddy of mine, son, was on the team, too, so got to give a special shout-out to them winning the World Championship. Little League World Series.
Yeah,
very nice.
Wow. Awesome.
Good call. And as always, Curtis and Gary, stay tuned, bro. We're going to get you guys, as we always like to do, because we always like to give you a nice chunk of time set aside for you guys. I will say that I was waiting for you guys whenever the United beat the Timbers, but you guys didn't jump on, but that's okay. I'll come back later on.
Yeah.
Love for you guys, man. I'm just messing with you guys. A lot of love. You know there's nothing but love for you guys. All right, really quickly, let's throw out the numbers as we always do. Let's throw out the call-in number. It's always the 424-243-9519. That is the best number to reach in. Call out to your boys. Hopefully you're listening to the radio. Hopefully I got some of my new listeners. Hopefully my boy Los is checking in as well as Robert Savant, DJ Savant. Hopefully you're checking in as well. Shout out to you guys as well. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Last but not least, follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports. We're talking sports with the 12th man. That's what we like to do. And, again, we're ready to kick this party off on August the 27th, 2019. And I guess I'll lead off really quickly. We're going to talk about the Braves and the Blue Jays. It's a terrible update because, again, even though Mike Schroeder pitched pretty decent, he couldn't get over not enough scoring, even though the Braves stranded a lot of runners in scoring position, so they end up losing to Toronto 3-1, a tight game, if you will. But, again, the Braves, we're doing I'm very very, very happy with Alex Anthopoulos. He's kind of grabbing some guys, getting Billy Hamilton, getting the catcher, Cavalli, I want to say, from Pittsburgh off waiver.
Really?
So, again, making some good moves, yeah. And we're kind of like holding serve, too. So, again, I'm not quite yet ready to say that we're there, you know, in the Dodgers area. But, you know, hopefully we're, you know, we're at those pieces, man. So, again, you know, we'll see what's going to happen, too. But it's going to be very interesting right now, the Braves, as we continue to hold on to the division topic, too. So I'll throw it to you, JQ, your thoughts, and around the room and everything like that, too. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, and you said it, you know, adding key pieces. And we've talked about it before. The Braves get up for big series, and they don't get up for bad teams. And that's been their bugaboo pretty much this season. They go play a good team, and they and it's balls to the walls, and it's a really good series, and it feels like a playoff series when they play. And then they play the Royals, you know what I'm saying, or the Blue Jays, and they don't, you know, they don't do what they need to do. So that's really my main concern with them is they got to be able to stay elevated in their level of play no matter who's on the other side of it. Yeah, and I saw where they stranded with the bases loaded, Josh Donaldson. But, you know, sometimes it evens out like that in baseball, too. You know, it's hard to stay super high all the time. But to me, some of this is a little bit of a mindset of taking the team too lightly. But they, I mean, they must definitely play a really good baseball. That lineup I talked about before is just ridiculous. It's going to all be about that pitching. But, you know, just a blip on the radar. You can't win them all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good deal. Rob, you want to add to that at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Braves are just recently at an 8-game winning streak. And now, just in the last couple of games, the bats just kind of got silent all of a sudden. But I'm sure they'll bounce back out of it. Like I said, tough loss to Toronto, losing 3-1. But like I said, the bats just got quiet here in the last couple of games. I don't expect that to last with the lineup that they have.
Appreciate you. Curtis and Gary, you guys have any thoughts on that? No, I know we're going to talk about the Rangers and the Angels. You guys have an update on that as well, too. So you guys have the floor, if you will.
Well, I know the Yankees are up in Seattle today. And I guess Stanton's coming back for the Yankees, which means they were having dilemmas over who are they going to sit out of that Yankees murderer row of hitters. So I'm not sure what happened there. That game probably just started an hour ago. And for me, I've been looking at the standings.
Gosh.
I really think the Dodgers are going to be the top out here at West. I see the Angels have a shot. They're up there, the Angels. And I would like to see both LA teams in the playoffs.
They've got a shot at a high draft pick.
Well, they're down. And I saw a little bit of Milwaukee. I think, and the Indians are still messing around in that playoff hunt, I believe, that I saw on my little rundown of checking out a little baseball this weekend.
Well, you know, one thing that I wanted to say is they started that sports betting in Oregon today. And they started it at a casino called Spirit Mountain, about 45 minutes south of Portland. And the very first sports bet, and I don't know who he bet on or what, or even what sport, but I do know that it was a former Dallas Cowboy great that did it. And it was Ed Too Tall Jones. Ed Too Tall Jones made his first bet on the over the new sports betting in Oregon.
In the Oregon, yeah, the sports action.
Yeah.
Sports action gambling for the state of Oregon.
Now, Curtis did want to, you know, you guys had some little chatter there about Atlanta. I know Curtis wants to address that and a few other things with the major leagues, you know, with the MLS.
MLS. Yeah, Atlanta. Well, the Timbers are in a little bit of a free fall. They first on a big televised game, lost to Atlanta, And then for the Cascade Cup, which involves Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, they came down, Seattle came down here in front of the home crowd here and beat our Timbers. Gervaisi was in a news conference, and I don't know if you guys have been seeing this on TV and you guys have been hearing about this, but we've been having, this seems to be ground zero for these groups that want to be fighting for Trump and these groups that want to be fighting against Trump. They come from all over the country to come here to Portland, and they have their flags and their gas masks and their billy clubs and their knives and this crap. And this city has been going through a lot of these protests, although this time the police were proactive and they told people they were going to just beat these people up this time when they came down. They weren't going to play with these people at all. They were going to knock them out and drag them to jail. They got out of line, the police were going to hurt people down there this last time. But what happened was one of the flags that the Portland Timbers, the Timber Army, had a symbol on it that resembled one of the symbols of the protest people. So for the Seattle game, they banned those flags from being in the stadium because they had that, what this group is called Antifa, and they had a symbol of a thing that looked like the Antifa flag. So the fans in Portland did a silent protest, and they didn't cheer or make noise or anything for the first 30 minutes of that soccer game. And in the press conference, it came up to Gervaisi, the coach of the Portland Timbers, and he almost lost his cool behind, that's not his situation, that's not his deal, that he had to talk about the protests going on in Portland with these idiots, and he was not happy that he lost that game to Seattle. And it was something to see, that emotion connected to our soccer team in this city, that we have to deal with those kind of things in our sports.
At a sporting event.
In our city.
So that's where we stand with that. So, yeah, Atlanta beat us up.
I wasn't there to, like, talk a lot of junk. I was just saying it was just, like, I was so excited to talk with you guys. And then, you know, obviously things happened. It was like, oh, I'm not going to join them. I'm like, ah. But anyway, it's just, you know, tongue-in-cheek, too. So, again, it's all good. Man. We're having some fun. It's all good. So what? Other than that, I think that's a good segue to a couple other things too. I know we want to talk about. We're kind of going to wrap up. You know, Rob is so excited about baseball, so we're going to talk about top pitchers of the game right now. And just to let you guys know, last week we had a lot of details, a lot of questions about the Cowboys. So we're going to try to get that back in, get your thoughts on that, as well as the Pac-12 predictions as well too. So we have a lot of things to discuss from that perspective too. But really quickly, if we can we just talk about the top five pitchers in baseball? And then I know we're going to definitely talk about the biggest elephant in the room regarding Angelo's retirement and kind of how that turned the world upside down. I was DJing an event like, what? I thought you guys were joking with me. But anyway, we'll start with Mr. JQ. You lead us off, and we'll go around the room as always.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I didn't really get a chance to kind of delve too much into the stats, but just my eye test. And not necessarily in top to bottom in terms of order, but I'm gonna start in Houston with those two guys. Cole and Verlander are, you know, just ridiculous, and they're part of the reason why everybody fears having to deal with them in the playoffs, where you're gonna probably get them two times apiece. I mean, good luck. You know, if they get anything from a third starter, they're gonna be really hard to beat, especially with that offense. So those two for sure. I got to go to Mad Max in Washington. He's a stud. I mean, I think it just is, goes without saying that Scherzer is just a fool with his two different color I have myself. But he just strikes people out. He's a gamer. He wants
that
ball every fifth day. I'm an idiot. But he wants that ball every fifth day. He can go out there and give you everything that he has, and he's going to pretty much approach double-digit strikeouts, excuse me, in every one of those starts. So I'm going to put him in that conversation as well. You go out to L.A. I think Clayton is starting to put himself back to where, you know, where we expect him to be. And that Dodgers team, we talk about it, they are just flat out ridiculous. Top to bottom offensively, and then you get him and Ryu behind him, and good luck, too, as well, with that Dodgers team. I lost it again. And last but not least, I'm sorry, Jake DeGrom. And for New York, I'm remiss to even forget his name. He's stupid. If that Mets offense could score runs on a regular basis, he would just run away with the Cy Young every year. With his 3 or 4 year run he's had. You look at his stats. He's like 5-9 or something. It's games where he's got like a 1.7 ERA for the Mets, and you're like, my gosh, and he's 5-9. Good Lord, how? With a sub 2 ERA, like DeGrom is a fool. Syndergaard's not that guy anymore. He's still a good pitcher, same with Bumgarner. So I have to leave them outside of that five. And, of course, I like my guys in Cincinnati and Castillo and Gray. But those five I just mentioned to me are the ones I look at. And I'm sure I missed somebody, but that's who I would roll with.
This is opinion, too. And then after seeing Jacob DeGrom, too, on, you know, versus the Braves, and you're like, man, it was just a great pitcher's duel, man. We got lucky with that one, too. But good game for sure.
Good.
Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, great game. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob DeGrom, what, he's 8-7 with a 2 point, his ERA was a 2.19, and he's only
8-7 or something like that. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Sick.
Yeah.
You agree with that, Rob?
Well, I had Jacob DeGrom as my number three guy. I still got Clayton Kershaw as number one, even though he still haven't done much in the playoffs. Even so far this season, he's 13-3. Also with an ERA about 2.76. So I still have him in the number one position. Number two, I have Max Scherzer at the number two spot as well. Only 9-5 on the season, but also has an ERA in the 2.5 range. So he's having another phenomenal year as well. And then we just talked about Jacob DeGrom. So I have him at the number three spot. And even though the Phillies are struggling this year, I got Aaron Nola.
Fourth
spot. He's a guy. He's the LSU guy, number one. You got to
admit.
You knew that was coming up some way, somehow.
But he could have just done it on the merit of him being Aaron Nola. It didn't have to be because he was from LSU. Like, go ahead.
And last but not least, JQ has already talked about him, Justin Verlander. And the Astros and the Yankees on a collision course for an incredible American League final here. And we'll see if both of them will make it there. But, you know, as JQ already mentioned, Justin Verlander, even at 36 years old, is a flat-out beast. So the Yankees are going to do all they can. I mean, they were able to hit Kershaw out of night. But if you saw the game, the Yankees against the Dodgers on Sunday night, the Yankees got all their runs off of solo home runs. And so that's how they're going to have to generate points and runs against these good pitchers because they can't constantly hit them. But they're going to have to get it by getting a long ball. And that's how they were able to beat Kershaw on Sunday night, is by hitting a lot of solo home run shots.
You make a couple mistakes. Yeah, you better jump on those mistakes they make too. So, yep. Whoo! West Coast, you want to add to that, or you want to talk about the shot heard around the world with Andrew Luck?
Well, I saw that also on Sunday night. And that is interesting, the Yankees and Houston and that collision course in the West. Because that's American League. I don't know who's going to be opposing the Dodgers. I'm not sure who they're going to run into. But I guess the Cubs are still in the hunt.
I'm going to Atlanta.
It barely.
I haven't seen enough of Atlanta. And Atlanta, I don't know if Atlanta has the hitting to get to get in the playoffs.
They do. They do.
They most definitely have the hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They got it, man. As a fan that we watch them pretty regularly, the biggest thing challenge they have is their some challenges. You know, they try to solidify the bullpen and the pitching. You know, starting pitching. We're not. You know, again, Folsom Nevich is kind of coming off of Sherlock. He's coming back, and then Julio Teheran. He's kind of juggling Hyde. You got Dallas Keuchel, who you kind of hope to kind of solidify that lineup. And then you got some young aces. I call them out with Soroka and Max Fried. So the potential is there, but again, they're not proven yet in the big games. That's the challenge. Well, the Dodgers, you know, have that huge hitting, and they've got Rakim. Man, those pitchers are a lot better than Braves right now. So we'll see. That's where we're at. So anyway, that's my little 2 cents on that. Go ahead. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Well, I wanted to talk about this Andrew Luck thing. You know, you had, you know, guys like Jim Brown and, you know, and who's
Barry
the Detroit
Sanders.
Running back?
Barry Sanders.
Kelvin Johnson.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean,
well, Gronk was considered to go out early.
Yeah.
The other Detroit receiver, Kelvin Johnson. We've had a few.
You know, now, if I were a fan of Indianapolis, would I be a little butt sore? Yes, because going into this, you know, they felt they had
hilarious.
A shot. Well, I mean, that's right.
We're laughing at you because it's exactly right. Go ahead.
You know, so with that said, you know, he's not the only one that's you know, gone out before the time, and I think it was going to be different. Wasn't it leaked a little bit here? But yes, or he kind of had to. It's not going to change that. It's kind of like a shot. If you put it in slow, you know, it's going to really hurt. But if you just stab it in there, you know, get it over with, it's a done deal. But what I want to pose to the group is, yeah, I do too. Will that hurt his legacy long term? What does the group say?
Well, it obviously puts his Hall of Fame status in big doubt. I mean, at this point, I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player unless he comes back out of retirement and puts up big numbers and leads teams to the Super Bowl. But he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback based on what he's done so far and just since 2012, since he's been in the league. Yeah, I mean, you can't put him in the Hall of Fame. I just don't think he's got enough work in the league to put him in the Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just my opinion. And, you know, the booing aspect from the fans, you know, one side of it, I understand it, because obviously this is a fan base that purchased season tickets based on the fact that they expected him to play. And the Colts were a legitimate Super Bowl contender if he was healthy. Based on the way they played down the stretch last season going into the playoffs. So you can understand it from a fan's perspective on one side. On the other side of it, obviously this is a man that's making a personal decision that basically him and his family talked about. So on one side of it, you have to be respectful of his decision. But like I said, I can kind of understand both sides of it. I mean, it's unfortunate. I think it's a loss for the NFL, most importantly. I mean, I'm not a Colts fan, but I am a football fan, and I think this is somewhat of a loss to see a special talent like that out of the league already. But he has to do his best for him and best for his family going forward. He's got a Stanford education, so his, you know, obviously he can probably he can hop into broadcasting. He can probably do quite a bit of other things too. But it is a loss for the game of football. And like I said, I can understand it from the season ticket holders, from going out buying season tickets and thinking you had a Super Bowl contender this year. But I do still think the booing was somewhat disrespectful.
Yeah, and you can't leave out the fact that he comes from a wealthy family. So, you know, it's all well and good to have moral standards and say this from my body. But if your family ain't rich, you're going to have to sit there and struggle afterwards. If something's wrong with your money, you're going to keep playing. So I just throw that piece in there too. But the guys we all mentioned, all those guys were just different cats. Calvin Johnson was a different cat. Barry Sanders was a different cat. Gronk is most definitely a different cat. Like, you've got guys that are just, you know, cut from a different cloth that they kind of just do their own thing. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He's not Gale Sayers. You don't put most people in there after 7 years, especially a quarterback that doesn't have a Super Bowl win. So he's most definitely not there. I think time will tell only because if he leaves a wave, other guys starts to do this because if they have value my body more than necessarily this money and I want to be able to walk when I'm 53, then it may shine more of a positive light on him. But right now the piece of it is that you're like 10, 13 days away from the start of the season when you do this. So you do this, and I think Jacoby Brissett, I think he's okay, but he's not, I don't think he's a special talent. But, you know, from the fans' perspective and people that follow the coach, you're like, dude, you just basically just hamstrung us this season. Like, you know, you just stopped this right now. Like, you weren't thinking this, and they weren't looking to the future to kind of help us out. Like, you got us right to the doorstep of the season, and then you went away. And I still say, you know what, if you feel like his body was just – it was impeding his way of life and how he went with his life with his newborn child that's ready to be here and his wife, then, you know, that takes a ballsy man to get out there and do that and take all the slings and arrows that he's getting. But like Rob said, that fan side of it, when you say, bro, you led us to the doorstep of the 2019 season and then you walked away, that's going to sting. And that's going to take a second to get over. I think, and, you know, I hear what you're saying about quick versus a fast shot, but, you know, especially if they get off to a bad start or they just are a bad team this year, it's going to take a little time, you know, to heal those wounds in Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, thanks.
They got Jacoby Brissett, and you know I'm a true football fan. It's unfortunate, but on the other hand, it's a football story, and I'm going to leave it at that because what happened here was the Colts were the favorite to win this division. Now all of a sudden, this division has become very, very, very interesting. Who's coming out of that division? And can Jacoby Brissett turn into that Case Keenum? And a lot of people think he can. When Case Keenum did that 13-3 for Minnesota and got Minnesota in those playoffs, a lot of people think this Jacoby Brissett could be that guy to take the weapons around him with the Colts and take them to 13-3 and win this division. But because luck is gone, I think this division, except for Jameis Winston, unless Jameis Winston really turns out to be something we've not seen yet, but with Houston and the boy from Oregon in Tennessee, this division has became very interesting.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback on that too, I'll say that it's definitely interesting with the timing. I think JQ was talking about this because, you know, the timing of it. And the fact that Andrew Luck was just the comeback player of the year last year, which is even crazier, you know. So he just did that,
wow.
And then he's going to retire. And you're like, wow, this is, like you said, like Rob talked about, you know, they had a potential to be a Super Bowl team. And you talk about the division, you know, obviously them and Houston were kind of battling out. And, you know, they were obviously in the playoffs, and they had a great game versus the Chiefs. And the Chiefs ended up, you know, winning. But, you know, now that division is definitely in a state of flux. You probably think Houston more of the favorite right now. But, again, we'll talk about it later. But it's interesting. But I just want to make a comment, gentlemen, is regarding we thought in that draft you had Robert Griffin III and you had Andrew Luck. You thought these guys have been going back and forth for years, right? You thought, man, these guys are going to be like, you know, just a huge rivalry. And then both of them are kind of like fanned out. I mean, obviously, Robert Griffin for different circumstances.
Injuries,
but
yep.
Then, you know, injuries to both of these guys. So it was just crazy how you thought you had your quarterback for 10 years plus if you're the Colts. And now you're going to have to reevaluate. Now, you're definitely watching what's happening in college football this year. Is it going to be Herbert? Is it going to be Tuilagovailoa? You know, is it the battle between, you know, Miami and them as far as, you know, where you're going to get that draft pick? Because now it kind of changes your perspective. Are you making a trade? Again, this just totally changes the dynamic of that Colts team. And then again, do you blame the GM for not getting enough protection for Luck later? You know, whatever. I mean, sometimes things happen, injuries happen, but I mean, it's kind of like the situation a little too late. So Just kind of an interesting situation, man. Just kind of like threw us off for a loop, if you will, too. So, anyone else want to wrap it up or wrap up on that or anything else you want to add to that, guys?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Well, I'll just talk about the AFC South really quick in that division. I tell you, in my opinion right now, the favorite, I think Jacksonville.
Yeah.
When you look at Nick Foles right now, he's been very impressive in the few games I've seen him play in the preseason. And here's the deal, what you got to look at with Jacksonville. With Blake Bortles, that team only averaged 15.3 points a game last season. I expect them at least to go up to the 24, 25 points a game range this year with Nick Foles at the quarterback position. And that's going to be a big difference with that defense that they have. So when you talk about Nick Foles, Leonard Fournette, the offensive line has improved. And then with that defense
D.D. Westbrook
at the wide receiver position. To me, they are the favorite to win that division now, and they are my pick to win that division because of that. And then when you look at Houston now, you just lost Lamar Miller for the season. And I know there's an outside chance that they might get into the Melvin Gordon sweepstakes. Now, I mean, obviously that could change things if they're able to get him. But as it stands right now, I got to give Jacksonville – the favorite to win it. Now, here's the problem with Houston. That offensive line is horrible. Sean Watson, when he got sacked me with 60 times last year, and it also hurts that he doesn't really get rid of the football quickly either. Special talent, not taking a lot away from Deshaun Watson, but one of his weaknesses is he holds on the ball too long sometimes. And that's something he's got to improve on in his game. And but that offensive line is horrible in Houston, and now you don't have your best running back. And Jadeveon Clowney is on the trading block here. I still think they're the second-best team in that division, but I like Jacksonville now as the favorite to win that division. I'm going to put the Titans third, and I'm going to drop the Colts all the way down to fourth. I think the Colts are still going to be competitive now with Brissett. I really do. They're going to be still in a lot of football games. The offensive line is one of the best in the league. And they got a good running game, and their defense has improved too. So I think they can still be a competitive team, but I think they're going to be down like 6-10, 7-9. But they're going to be in still almost. It's just going to be tough for them to win with the quarterback position.
You know what? I agree with 95% of everything you just said. Because when you said that, I was thinking that. Don't forget about Jacksonville and that defense. The thing about it is a bad quarterback can tear your team apart when your defense is out there killing themselves. And giving up 16 or 17 points a game, like Rob said, you only scoring 15 and you're losing. Like, how did we just lose this game as a defense? No. So I think that is, and again, Nick Foles, I mean, I don't think he has to necessarily be just out of his mind, but for that defense to feel like, and the rest of the offense, it's like, you know, we got a chance because we have a capable quarterback, I think it's going to see a big difference out of that Jacksonville team. The only thing I would switch would be Tennessee at two, because I think Tennessee has an identity. And they have an identity, and they're going to play sound defense. And they're going to pound you. And this is a make or break gear for Mariota. And I can see you slotting him to third. But when you got a Deion Lewis and a Derrick Henry, you can still just pound that rock. And you can still make life a little easier for him. If he's able to make any kind of small leap this year to help out and balance out that running game, they're going to see a tough out as well. That AFC South is crazy. I think it just brought everybody back closer to the pack. I looked with you. I thought Indianapolis had a great shot at it. But that loss of Andrew Luck, I think, brings it back to the pack. But I still would take Jacksonville as well.
That's great. That's a good call. Good call. Nick Foles did just enough, man. It reminds me like of the Baltimore. They're like, they went in that, remember that great defense. Like, man, yeah, they're like, but they're like, Baltimore, we can do this, guys. Ray Lewis had strong. They ain't scoring nothing. I love it, man. That's how you have to be. Hey, Curtis and Gary, we're finally here. We're finally able to talk about your man, Zeke Elliott. So what's the update on the Cowboys situation, if you will? And now you have the floor, if you will.
Well, they offered Zeke what shy of Gurley's salary, I think, is what it was. The last I heard, Jerry Jones has said he wants him in there, and Jason Garrett also said today that we want him back now. Is quoting Jason Garrett today. But, Zeke's holding out. And like I said before, if the Cowboys don't get him in there for the entire season, they can't afford to go 0-2, you know, like the Triplets did, you know, in the 90s. They're not that team. So they better get him in here and get him. I wish he would have done exactly what Dak Prescott's doing. I wish he would just come in here and got himself ready and let them negotiate and not create this big rift. Now, the red flag, and he's a great talent, the red flag that I have with him is the off the field jump, you know? This is what I'm afraid of. He gets the most money out there for a running back, and then he goes to Vegas or wherever he's going to go, you know, next, and parties it up and punches a police officer or whatever the hell, and, you know, it's just suspended and we're out the money anyway. So
like what you did.
If I were Jerry Jones, and he's the one writing the checks, I would definitely have some language in there that's saying, in the event of some this off-field stuff, or do like what they did with Dez Bryant, where they had like a life coach in there working with him every damn day to keep him out of trouble. That's what Zeke needs. So without that, man, I don't know.
What I'm hearing, and I heard this today, they're close. One of the things that Zeke is asking for, and he's comparing himself to Emmitt Smith, he's been quoted as saying he wants to be a Cowboy for life.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants a contract that's going to keep him there in Dallas for life. He doesn't want to be Emmitt Smith and end up in Arizona the last 2 years of his career. He doesn't want to be anywhere else at the end of when it's his time to cycle out. So that might be an issue with the analytics of running backs in the NFL. You know, the Cowboys are probably trying to think, can you sign them for a lifetime? And if we have too much trouble from them, can we trade them? I think that's where they're at. I think they're at, he's a great trade asset, but he's asking for it to be a Cowboy for life. And that's endearing, but the analytics doesn't pan out.
Okay.
We started on slashers too. Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead. I'm excited. Go ahead.
Because as I was thinking about it, the thing that comes to me when I hear, well, we just made him an offer just short of Todd Gurley. And if we all would sit here and make a for real conversation about it, we all want Zeke right now moving forward for the next how many years over Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley is making the most money. Why not, if you're Dallas, say, you know what, we're not going to let you just reset the market and you make $2, $3, $4, $5 million more than Todd Gurley. Sign him for $2 more than what Todd Gurley signed for those 4 years and put that language in the contract and be done with it. Like, you don't have to, you know, look, we will symbolically make you a very rich man and the highest paid running back in the league by paying you $2 more than what Todd Gurley got. Now you're the highest paid running back. What do you have to say about that now? And if you put that out there, it's going to be really, really hard. Even though it's only $2, it's going to be really hard for Zeke to sit back and say, you know what? Damn. Well, I mean, by the word, I am the highest paid running back. I'm going to eclipse this deal. It's just 4 years. You're expecting to have him for 4 years. After those 4 years, if he doesn't get in trouble, then you talk about the next contract. But that's where I would be and be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, and I think that's a good point. But when you have a, you know, and all of them do, they have that third party, that agent, that who knows what that agent is telling him. Oh, no, don't hold out. You know, we can get you $2 million or more so I can get my 15% or 10% or whatever it is, his cut of it is. You know, and that sometimes that's the problem is these players, and I'm not talking about just about Duke, but just in general, sometimes these agents get in the way, can get in the way of progress as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what's awesome in everything, guys, is the fact that, you know, Zeke is kind of like, he kind of gave up some of his negotiating power because he said he wants to be a Cowboy for life. So you can tell that he doesn't really want to do this. He wants to be there. So it's more or less like, hey guys, let's get this done. It wasn't like he was like, I'm holding out, I don't want to, you know. He's actually gave up, like, I want to be a Cowboy for life. So you got to be like, all right, let's make this happen. So again, now we're just talking numbers. So we talked about it last week whenever Jalen Smith got the contract and Jerry Jones was like, this is how you get a and right now Zeke realizes how important he is. So he's saying he wants to be paid like Emmitt Smith because he realized how important Emmitt Smith was to the Cowboys. Now, again, he's not Emmitt Smith. So, again, let me go a little bit, Zeke, but you are a crucial piece to that team because without Zeke, as we talked last week, the Cowboys aren't as good. So you need Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott wants to be there. Now, let's figure out this money thing, whether you got to back in the contract or you need some more guarantee money up front. And, you know, now is not the time for them to have these problems because you guys, very similar to the Colts, you guys had a great year last year. So you need to keep that momentum. This does not look good for the Cowboys right now. And, again, we're not Cowboys fans, no offense, guys. So infighting is great for us, but if you look at it from the outside looking in, you're like, man, now's the time to be going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, you got anything to say? You got anything to add to that?
Well, here's my take on the situation here. I think offering him the second highest paid contract and behind it is Todd Gurley is fair. And the reason why I say it's fair is because basically he's coming in for a contract renewal with 2 years left on his current deal. And that's the main reason why I will say it's fair at the current at the moment. So I think somewhere around that ballpark. Maybe I think the best thing for the Cowboys to do, Jerry Jones and his ownership team, I would still stay in that second highest range, but as close to Ty Gurley's as possible. Because once again, you got to look at it from this standpoint. Kelly is coming to the contract negotiation table with 2 years left on his current deal. And so with that being said, I think that's a very fair offer to make him the second highest paid running back in the game, slightly behind Todd Gurley in this particular situation. Like I said, I would get it as close as possible, but I would try to keep it second because based on the standpoint, he's got 2 years left. I think that's a fair deal for the Cowboys, and I think that's a fair deal for Zeke Elliott, too, when he's coming to the negotiation table with 2 years left on his deal.
See, but he's going off of his straight off of 2 years left off his deal. He's coming from it in terms of a production and what you expect for me to do to this, for this team moving forward. And I think if Dallas comes at it from that perspective, that's going to make it really hard to negotiate because you're saying, yeah, I do have 2 years left. But if you talk about what I mean to this team, the production on the field, and you know, I mean, unless you get something crazy like Todd Gurley with the knee, like, I'm going to be worth this money. You pick me in the top 10 for a reason, and I've done nothing outside of the off the field stuff. I get that. I mean, on the field. You're like, yeah, that was a great pick for me. And he's performed. He's the straw that serves his drink. So if you go to it just based off of strictly off of contract years left on it, I think that's going to hurt it. Why not just make him nominally the highest paid running back? You don't have to let him reset the market to some crazy number. Put it like $100,000 or something. You know what I'm saying? Like something just barely north of it to where you can say you're the highest paid. You didn't destroy your salary cap, because if you're going to come that close to Todd Gurley's deal, if I'm Zeke, I'm going to say, well, why can't you go to the extra $2 million to make me the highest paid, or $2 million and $100,000? That's how I would approach it if I was Zeke on the other side of it. You know, 2 years on my contract, be damned. You if you're going to get this close, you can go all the way.
15 minutes left in the show, gentlemen. I love it. I hope Curtis and Gary are happy with all the love that we're showing the Cowboys. Man, we're talking a lot, so hope you guys are feeling that for sure, guys. So.
Well, America's feeling it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, America's feeling it.
Oh,
you guys are trying to really boost your ratings now. Yeah, America's feeling. But, I mean, the NFL does have the mentality of next man up. That is an NFL mentality. Next man up. And I, listening to you guys, this wanting to be a cowboy for life might be a real thing. And you guys didn't mention that. And if that's on his mind, that might be a real thing. It might be a real thing. And it might be a real thing they have to address now.
We kind of figured, I did say that. That's what he said whenever he was, you know, he didn't want to end up like him.
Yeah.
So we were saying that. But, again, I think the thing is it's all about his negotiating prowess because, again, he kind of did give up some leverage when he said that because, you know, now you're like, all right, but you do have to realize where you're coming from that. So, again, we've talked enough about the Cowboys, to, if you will. So,
yes, Lord.
Anyway,
No, hell no.
I'm gonna say the marquee college game this Saturday. The marquee game,
wow.
Southeast Conference against the Pac-12. Justin Herbert, here we go. If you're gonna be that number one draft choice, you're gonna have to prove it. Game one. Let's go Oregon, and it's got the significance of Pac-12, and Pac-12 is trying to be a legitimate conference to try to get in this playoffs. And this would be a long go a long way to beating Auburn in Texas. And the other thing going on in our state is Oregon State, which, you know, the second year under Jonathan Smith, they're playing Oklahoma State. Both teams are OSU. Both teams are in orange and black. And that's gonna be at Reese's Stadium on Friday. That's gonna be a Friday kickoff for Oregon State and Oklahoma State.
I can't believe you said that.
If Oregon State can even be competitive in that game, it's going to be a surprise.
I don't think so.
You know, but yeah,
no,
here we go.
They're not going to be competitive.
I agree with JQ.
I'm going to make a prediction on that game. The orange and black are going to win.
You're stupid.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny? Literally Curtis
that running back
right to the last
week.
They have
a big time year, too.
They're going to kill Oregon State. We already know that.
Come on, guys. Hey, we'll give Curtis a bone here. We'll talk about this big game because obviously this is huge for the weekend because, again, Pac-12 is always having that type of SEC type of, hate because, everyone compares it. But this is a huge, as everyone said, this is a huge test.
Huge game.
So if you're Justin Herbert, this is for you to prove that you can sustain this. Auburn is good, obviously. You know, we're still going to get a good, good gauge as far as that, too. But for the Pac-12, you better come in. You can't barely beat them. You better come in and, it's going to be hard. You know what I'm saying? For you to put something on this. So, you better have a good showing. You better, make it very convincing, if you will. That's my thoughts.
What else do you say, folks?
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with you on this. That game is the best game of the weekend on paper. And I'm really interested to see what Herbert is going to do. But I also watched that Oregon, I believe, Michigan State bowl game in the last year, and that was worse than watching paint dry. I think the score was 10-7. It was god awful to watch. So they're going to have to make some leaps and bounds if they're going to get out on the field with Auburn and have a chance. I'm not saying they can't, but the last time I seen them play another power conference school, it was bad. It was real bad. Nothing more for me would love to see. Sorry, Rob, to see the SEC take one on the chin so they can come back down to earth a little bit. So I am most definitely rooting for Oregon this weekend, but they got a tall task ahead of them.
Yeah.
Can Justin Herbert, obviously. Auburn might have the best defensive line or one of the best defensive line in the country. I know they're playing the freshman quarterback in Bo Nix, but this defensive line, I think, is what's going to cause havoc for Oregon this weekend. That defensive line, Derrick Brown, is as big as a house. And then you got Nick Cole, Ontavious Russell, Marlon Davison.
Ooh.
Like I said, they probably have the – and they might have the best defensive line, not only in the SEC, but in the country. And then we talk about teams like Alabama and Clemson. Auburn might have the best defensive line in the country. And I think that's going to be the difference, even though Oregon is ranked higher. I think Oregon is going to lose this game in the trenches. And even though Auburn is playing with a freshman quarterback, Auburn is just going to – the physicality of that team is what's going to beat Oregon. It's not going to be a blowout because, like I said, Auburn is playing with a freshman quarterback, and I expect them to make some mistakes. But I think in the trenches where Auburn is going to win this game, I'm going to go 21-17 Auburn.
Look at Robert putting it out there. Man, next week. Whoa.
Well, and I don't like Auburn.
Well, I saw that.
I'll be rooting
for I saw that in the preseason poll, Oregon is ranked ahead of Auburn. But in this particular game, Auburn is the favorite. They really are. But, yeah, you are exactly right.
That's why,
Robert. Yeah, you are exactly right, Robert. This is a trench war. It's in the front lines. And if Oregon cannot hold their own, and that's basically what the Southeast Conference has over other conferences, is they usually have the best NFL bodies on offensive and defensive lines in the country. And Oregon, if they're going to stand up to anything in this opening game, they've got to win it in the trenches. And they got to protect Herbert.
8 minutes.
Chase Young and
minutes.
Ohio State defensive line want to work with you, Robert.
I'm sorry.
I said Chase Young and the Ohio State defensive line wants to work with you. But you're right, that Auburn defensive line, that Auburn team, they just recruit, and they're going to be fast and physical every year. Now, they're like LSU in the fact that they're hitting this on the quarterback, and I think that's held them back the past couple of years ever since Cam Newton. But if you talk about in terms of skill position and be able to get off the edge and defensive end and defensive tackle and linebacker, those Auburn teams, more often than not, are very strong in those areas.
Yeah. Yep, a few of those guys could have been first-round picks, even if they would have been in this 2019 draft. Derrick Brown, for sure. I mean, these guys came back. All four of them came back, which was somewhat of a surprise. And like I said, they're going to be a beast to deal with in the trenches.
Good luck. Y'all play them this year?
Yeah. Who is that?
Yep, we got the
LSU.
Yeah,
LSU Auburn?
Oh, yeah, we play Auburn every year. They're in the same division.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. The only hope for Oregon is Auburn is not very strong in other places. That's the only hope for that defensive line is will cause some havoc.
Nice. We got about 7 minutes here, gentlemen. Let's keep this moving here. Since we're already talking college football, I do want to talk about, wasn't that a great game between Hawaii and Arizona State? Khalil Tate just like getting tackled at the freaking one. That was
1 yard line, man. That hurt.
That's a great comeback, man. That was a very entertaining game, man. So obviously they fell short, but what a great game. What a great filler, man.
Freaking Miami had every chance in the world to beat Florida and couldn't get it done, man. That made me so mad.
Same thing. Same thing. Hey, Jake, you don't worry about it, man. We're getting a turnover chain for you too. Okay, just for you, JQ.
That
305
turnover
chain
is. That 305 tournament changes the business. But,
it's pretty good. And the ring.
Not only the ring, but I think the chain. But that drive, though, just to talk on it, that drive, I think they got like 3 defensive penalties on Florida to extend the drive for first down and not to be able to get it done. Like, I mean, that was bad. That dude, Tate is going to better keep himself prepared because that young guy is on the clock right now. He did not do enough for Miami in that game, and the game they really could have won.
Yeah. Yeah, all good. All right, we still got 5 minutes here. We're going to switch back here to the NFL here. I do want to talk really quickly. I know we got to talk about some NFC North predictions in the South and obviously the playoff predictions and Super Bowl, all that fun stuff too. We may talk about that in the OT portion. I want to talk about, will OBJ have a big year with Baker Mayfield? This is going to really make JQ's skin crawl.
Yeah.
But Odell Beckham Jr., now is the time, and I'm going to throw this to the West Coast. Do you think that he's going to have a big year with Baker Mayfield? What do you guys think about that in the Browns?
Well, as we talked about before, we talked about new money and old money, and this is that lottery, and they spend a lot of money, and, you know, we'll see. You know, injuries play a part of it, all this sort of thing. My bet on that is no.
Oh. Mm. Well, what I'm gonna say, if OBJ goes through a 16-game season, that's gonna be phenomenal. Because I don't believe OJ. I don't think Odell has done that in 4 years. Has gone through a whole season. So for Cleveland, let's see this man get through a whole season. The other thing is, a lot of people think that Cleveland's going to win that division. And I'm not seeing what they're seeing. I don't see Cleveland getting past Pittsburgh. I don't see Cleveland getting past Baltimore. I don't know where these people are getting this, that they really think
you.
That this team can win that division.
Baltimore does have.
I don't know where they're getting that from.
I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why. The first year, honeymoon period. He's gonna be on his best behavior. He just got traded from the Giants to Cleveland, where he's right. Where they thought he was gonna go die. They chose Cleveland for a reason. I believe that. They thought he was gonna go die.
I agree.
They really did.
Yep.
And I think Baker is good enough to be able to utilize OBJ's weapons. And OBJ, I think, is going to be on his best behavior. He may miss a game or two getting nicked up. I'll give you that. Those games he's going to play, he's playing with such a huge chip on his shoulder. In year one, don't get me wrong, in year one, he's going to go ball out and get stupid. And then he might turn back into OBJ like, I told you, suckers, and then go crazy again, and then it's over. But year one, if they want to do it, they better do it this year. Because in year one, I think he's going to ball out for so far. If you're talking about for me for this year, I'm going to say OBJ lives up to the hype.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big-time year this year. First of all, he's the LSU product. But
oh, my God.
But, no, seriously.
He's a knucklehead.
He is a knucklehead. I will agree with that.
45
yeah.
seconds, Rob.
I agree with that. But in all seriousness, no, I expect him to have a big-time year this year. And, you know, I expect him to be a big-time deep threat in this Cleveland offense. I really do. I think he's going to, you know, Jarvis Landry is the prototype possession
yep.
receiver. And I just think
yep.
OBJ is going to open it up. He's going to have a lot of deep deep touchdowns this year. They're going to have a perfect blend in that offense with Njoku and Jarvis Landry kind of being those possession
yeah.
weapons. OBJ is going to be that deep threat that's going to stretch the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to have a solid running game, too. This is going to be a tough offense to stop, in my opinion. And I think OBJ has a big-time year. And like I said, his yard per catch average is going to be one of the tops in the league. Because, once again, I think he's going to get a lot of deep touchdowns in this offense.
Yeah.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
America,
you hear that sound.
And a Chicago Bears.
Wrapping up.
Open up the NFL season.
7-9 is not going to win the division.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready for the OT portion. We got a lot more football to talk about here. We still got NFL predictions, college football predictions. We got college football playoff and national championship predictions. We have Super Bowl predictions. We got it all in the OT portion, which means you got to click on the same link on tomorrow. I know we're teasing y'all, but you got to click on the same link tomorrow to get the OT portion to get our football prediction. You don't want to miss it, people. Next week, we're taking a week off. We're going to return on Tuesday night, September 10th. Once again, Tuesday night, September 10th. That'll be right after the opening week of the NFL. and week two of college football. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to click on the OT portion.
Everything he just said. We appreciate everybody for listening to the show and downloading it. We'll holler at y'all in a couple of weeks. Later.
That was a perfect segue, too, man. That was a perfect segue. I love it, man. If you hear that music, gentlemen, you know that it's time to get ready to set it up for the OT portion, as always, man.
We're going to make football great again.
We are going to make football great again. We always talk about that, too, man. So just to piggyback on that, just really quickly, too, I concur 100% with Rob about Baker Mayfield. I think that OBJ is going to have a huge year. Baker has just enough moxie, crazy, if you want to call him, kind of Brett Favre-ish to kind of make some crazy passes to get an OBJ. So they're going to take some threats, and they're going to take some risks, but I think they're actually going to come through, man. And as Rob mentioned, JQ mentioned, they have a lot of weapons on that squad, man. So, again, running game, everything. OBJ has a huge – did he need another chip on his shoulder, excuse me? He's got another huge chip on his shoulder because, you know, you traded him to Cleveland to die. He's going to be like, all right, I got y'all. He's going to ball out, man. So that's Andre's prediction on that too, man. I think he's going to give it to him, man. He's going to be focused, man. So that's what that's my bold prediction, if you will, man. Not that I'm not sure as far as the division, but, again, I think he's going to have huge – he's going to ball out, man. You heard it here first on what's today? On the 27th of August, if you will. 28, actually, now. But anyway, all right, gentlemen. Let's keep this going here. I do want to talk really quickly. Rob, I want to kind of segue because I know you kind of woke up early. I don't want to get too deep into this because we'll be here all night. I do kind of want to talk about the NFC North predictions, kind of like piggybacking on that too. So now is a perfect segue into that as we talk about what's happening with a couple of things here. So I will let you kind of lead the charge. And how do we say what's going to happen in this division here with NFC North? Obviously, the Bears, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions, if you will. Poor Lions. Go ahead, Rob.
I think the Vikings comes back and takes this division back. I think they're healthy. Some improvements along the offensive line. They probably have the best collection of wide receivers in the division and tight ends.
Big Mike.
And their defense as well. I like the Vikings to come back and win this division at 11-5. I like the Bears as a wild card at 10-6. And the Packers are going to be somewhere around 8-8 or 9-7 and just missed the playoffs this season. And, of course, the Detroit Lions, I expect them to be in the cellar somewhere around 4-12 and 5-11 this coming season. But I think the Vikings, 2 years removed from being in the NFC Championship game, will bounce back and win this division this year with the Bears being second.
Yeah, and on 0 days, am I going to put a whole lot of stock in a Michigan State quarterback because that's who Kirk Cousins is. And God bless him, he just is a Michigan State quarterback. And he got his bag, though. He got the bag from Minnesota, and I got to give him a whole lot of credit for that. He got that money from Minnesota. But in terms of winning the division, I'm not going to go with them. I think he's – you know what? Actually, I'm going to go with Chicago again. I think Trubisky has shown me enough that he can take the next step. I like Nagy and what he does with his offense. That defense,
he's
I feel
North
like
Carolina,
really,
not
really,
a
really
basketball
good.
Player from North Carolina.
Say what? Oh, here we go.
What did you say?
You going to go with a quarterback from North Carolina and not a basketball player from North Carolina? This is not Michael Jordan in Chicago. This is Mitch Trubisky in Chicago.
I'm not going with a Michigan State quarterback. You tell me a starting quarterback that did anything that you thought was going to be worth a damn. One Michigan State quarterback.
Huh?
Just give me one. I said, there's no Michigan State quarterback you putting no stock in. Kirk Cousins is a Michigan State quarterback.
What about North Carolina
quarterback? Yeah, but I still like that offense. If you like Kansas City's offense, why would you not like Chicago's offense, especially with the defense? Kansas City, which they have Chicago's defense. And I still like Chicago's offense enough with that defense to win that division. I think you can, as a toss-up between Minnesota and Green Bay. Green Bay's defense, you know, or the lack thereof, is what causes me not to want to pick Green Bay higher. It's not anything to do with, you know, that Rob paid for Aaron Rodgers. I think they can do it on offense, but that defense is just not stout enough. So I will go ahead and put Minnesota second and Green Bay third, and I'm definitely – I mean, Detroit at number four is – that's just a gimme. Like, you know, that's just me taking this out.
I do have Aaron Rodgers in, like, at least two fantasy leagues, maybe three.
Wow. For perspective.
I know I have him at least two. I got him in the draft tonight.
Is Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers going to stay healthy all year? And that division loaded for bear. That division is loaded for bear against Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Even the lowly Detroit Lions have a defense for Aaron Rodgers.
Stop it.
So if Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I'm picking the Packers.
Where's Mike? Well, is Mike taking a trip over there?
Wow.
No, he ain't here. He was losing his mind.
I'm going with Chicago to win it, and I'm saying 10-6 is going to win that, and I don't see a wild card coming out of the NFC North.
Ooh,
wow,
Gary,
wow.
Hey,
I think the top three teams in the division are going to be very competitive, though. I think the Vikings, the Bears, and the Packers. All three going to be very competitive this year.
That's what we're talking about.
And
right.
I could really see this turning into a three-team race.
Yeah.
I can see them also beating up on each other.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a defense.
You mentioned Green Bay's defense. I expect Green Bay's defense to be better this year, too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, except Detroit.
Detroit's
going to be at the bottom.
Yeah,
but
it's
a coin flip. For me, it's a coin. For second, it's a coin flip with Green Bay and Minnesota for second and third in that division. And
I agree.
I don't.
Yeah.
But second, maybe only 9-7 and 8-8.
Yeah,
it's
kind of. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dre.
No, I was going to say, I was going to ask you, JQ, I mean, and I hope I'm not, like, you know, Pornhub heaping coals on you, but did you think Mike Zimmer was a better – was that the guy that you wanted to coach the Bengals? Did you thought he was kind of in line to coach for the Bengals,
listen,
if you will? Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
I would just do it with this one story, and I promise you I did when that was happening. I wanted him over Marvin Lewis, and not just because I hated Marvin Lewis, but, like, for real, like an objective fan of Marvin Lewis. When Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, and he had them playing like a top 10 defense, and his wife died, I think, that week of one of the games, and they had a home game, and he coached, and they won that game, and they all was rolling around him and crying and gave him the football. At that moment, I was like, they need to hire Mike Zimmer. He's a tough head coach, but the fact that he is a tough head coach, and those guys, and he had a performer, and they rallied around him like that, especially in that time of need when his wife had just died, and to see these grown men crying and present him the football at the end of that game, I was like, that's the dude you need to hire. And that's just it for me for Mike Zimmer. Yes, I definitely want him to be the Bengals head coach.
But I'm saying that because you look at the Minnesota Vikings, and they're taking characteristics. That's why it's tough because, again, they went in and you thought you got the quarterback to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has a lot to prove, guys. That defense is definitely going to be the key. Adam Thielen is balling out of his mind. You got to figure out what's, you know, that's why, Stephon Diggs, you got Dalvin Cook coming back from that injury. They have all the components. That's why I agree with everyone as far as it's a coin flip. You kind of – I mean, who do you like better at quarterback? You know, do you like Trubisky or do you like Cousins? I don't know. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing.
I like
thing.
Them the same.
You kind of lean towards – I don't know. It's tough because the Chicago has a really good defense. Minnesota has a good defense. Now let's talk about you may give a slight edge to Cousins because he's supposed to be a better quarterback. But, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes. He has a lot of proof. So it is really a coin flip, you know. I'm just saying, right? Think about it. Anyway, that's our thing. But good
when
call.
You said
man.
It on tape.
Great call. Yeah, good.
When you look at the Vikings, their offensive line is going to be better this year. Dalvin Cook, another year removed off of that ACL. They have the best wide receivers in the division. And they got a solid tight end in Kyle Rudolph. Me and their defense is just as good. I don't think their defense is slightly below Chicago's.
Yeah,
but I think overall,
well, it's close.
To me, they're
close.
A team that looks like they have more to deal with than what the Bears have offensively. And obviously, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, they have Devontae Adams, another weapon. But, you know, Jimmy Graham is a declining tight end, and Aaron Jones is a solid running back. The offensive line is still a little shaky. the defenses are going to be improved, but I just think the Vikings have less weaknesses out of those three teams.
Fair enough. Gotcha. All right. It's good. It's good. So we'll keep this going. All right. The division we've been waiting to talk about, the NFC South, if you will.
Mm-mm.
And I guarantee we're both going to have, me and Rob are definitely going to have different people at the top.
Y'all go first.
No. Yeah, we're definitely going to go first, too. So,
yeah, y'all
go first. Yeah, this is another.
Yeah, boy. So,
obviously.
I already know where, guess where I'm going number one? You know, I guess I'm going to have to go with the Falcons number one, just because, you know, again, I'm going a little heart and a little, like, I'm going to try to add some logic to the fact that, again, you bring back Dirk Koetter. I'm hoping Dirk Koetter's been holding back in the preseason, is going to, like, surprise all of y'all. I know we play our first game against the Vikings. So, again, it's going to be tough, but he's been able to put some points against a lot of squads. He's going to put some points against Carolina, against the Saints. So we're hoping that he's holding back and we're finally able to kind of open up the offense. It is a little scary, the offensive line. So that is a huge challenge for us.
Mm.
But I think the fact that, Dan Quinn is backing in that defense, getting Keanu Neal back, getting Debo, again, I know they've been kind of a year removed from the ACL injuries, but just having that cohesiveness is pretty good and we've got to build on depth. So, again, we're hoping that this is a good thing from that perspective too. Obviously, this is not a slide on the Saints by any means. I think it can be flip-flop anyone. Everyone loves the Saints. I'm just going with my heart from that perspective, too. Obviously, it can go flip-flop. So Saints number two, obviously. Drew Brees is, again, I'm hoping Father Time will catch up to him. Michael Thomas, your boy, damn it, getting that huge contract.
Okay.
I am hoping, that's what's up. I am hoping that the new rule will actually flip against the Saints whenever we play them versus Marcus Lattimore. I know he's the Ohio State great corner, no offense, JQ, but I do know he's a little handsy, so I'm hoping that he gets a little revenge, we get like a little payback because he can't hold Julio without holding them, So that's me. Third in the division, we're still going to go Carolina and your boy with his crazy looking like Medea goes to training camp, Cam Newton, and we're going to end up with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh,
Jameis Winston, we don't know what's going to happen with him. He's going to be in the league, but I do have to say, watch out for Bruce Arians. He's a great coach. I think that they actually got it right with that coach, if you will, too. But they're not enough to. They're going to be in the transition. So that's my thoughts on the NFC South. No offense to that. So again, Rob.
Well, I would agree with you in this regard. I think the Falcons' offense can be really scary if they can fix that offensive line. And obviously that's a big if. I mean, obviously with Matt Ryan, they're getting Devontae Freeman back, and they have the weapons on the perimeter, and also Austin Hooper. I mean, so that is – and defensively, I expect the Falcons to be better with just getting healthy. So I would agree with you in that regard. But I'm just not sold on an offensive line being fixed for this season, at least not early in the season. And that's the main reason why I would still put the Falcons second in the division, because I just think Matt Ryan is going to be running for his life quite a bit this season with that offensive line. And I know they spent the first two draft picks, obviously the guard from Boston College. We expect him to start right away. But from the looks of it, it doesn't seem like that O-line is quite ready. For
that's
Big
fair.
League football just yet. And that's the difference between the Saints and the Falcons in my regard. Now, when the Saints' offensive line was healthy last year, they probably had the best or one of the best offensive lines in the game. Now, obviously, Max Unger retired. The Saints drafted Eric McCoy in the second round from Texas A&M. Looked like he's going to start right away at the center position. Has been performing really well. But that offensive line, Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, Michael Thomas, and then when you add in Jared Cook, and based on what I saw this past week against the Jets, that first-team offense looked insane. They look in mid-season form already for the Saints. And I expect the Saints' defense to be even better. And we've seen the defense continue to get improve over the last couple of years. We got that Ohio State secondary, except for Marcus Williams. Apple is looking phenomenal. Marshawn Lattimore. Von Bell is looking like he's having a breakout season as well. I you know, I may sound biased, but I may be picking with my heart, but I'm also going with my eye test showing me too. And they, to me, still look like the team to beat and still look like a legitimate Super Bowl contender when you look at their roster from top to bottom. So I got Saints 1. I got the Falcons 2. Carolina 3. Worried about Cam Newton and his health as well. I mean, is he recovered from the shoulder? Now he's got a foot injury to worry about here as well. So you got to be really concerned about that if you're Carolina. And I actually think Carolina and Tampa both are going to be somewhere around 6-10, the 5-11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, I don't have a dog in this fight. I do live in Atlanta, but me and my homeboy Dre, and shout out to Marcy, went to go watch that dress rehearsal against Washington, and Matt Ryan was on the run for his life a lot of that dress of that first half. And I was like, the starters are still out there. That was very promising against a Washington team that nobody's expecting anything of this year. So could it be the Atlanta mentality of playing down to your competition? Could be. It happens a lot when you watch Atlanta sports games. I'm sorry, but Dre, you can attest to that. They play up and down to their competition.
They do.
I really do think with New Orleans, I agree with a lot with what Rob just said. And, of course, being a Buckeye, it's super hard for me to root against all of that defensive progress. And then all the years, you still got Michael Thomas on the opposite side of the ball. And they know me. Until I see otherwise, I'm going to go with the quarterback. And the best quarterback in that division, I think everybody agrees hands down, is Drew Brees. And that's not to take away from Matt Ryan. He's an MVP in this league, but he's not Drew Brees. So I'm going to go with New Orleans first. I'm going to go with Atlanta second. I agree. I think they just get better on defense because they've gotten healthy. I don't trust Devontae Freeman that we talked about earlier, about guys not playing a full season of games. Devontae Freeman's running style does not lend his body to being able to play 16 games. He just runs so hard and reckless and trying to run everybody over on every play that he's not going to ever play 16 games. I think Edo Smith was a great pick in losing Tevin Coleman. But it feels like sometimes Atlanta finds ways to lose games and New Orleans, outside of the ridiculousness we can brush over, they find ways to win games. So I'm going to put Atlanta second. And then I bounce back and forth with Carolina and Tampa. I think I put Tampa now 3 only because, to Rob's point, how hurt really is Cam Newton? Of course, they're not going to say he's as hurt with the week coming up with 7 days, 8 days going into the next game at the start of the season. But when you see that happen, you leave the stadium in the walking boot. If Jameis Winston, to me, it's like, if not now, bro, when? I agree with you, Andre, on the Bruce Arians pick. I think that's a great pick at head coach for Tampa Bay. Can he get the most out of Jameis Winston? I don't know, because Jameis Winston is still a dude. He's his own man, and you can only do as much to try to reach another guy until you have to cut bait on him. But in terms of chip on Winston's shoulder, coupled with Arians and Cam Newton's injury, I put Tampa 3. I put Carolina 4. I don't know if I'm as dire as 5-11. I think other teams are going to get a lot of fight to. I would say, kind of a 5-10, 6-9, 7-9 kind of piece of it. But I think James is going to get, if he shows any signs of life, they'll give him at least a small contract extension to see if he can keep improving on it.
Make a break.
And that's a good call. I was very close to picking Tampa Bay over Carolina, too. Very close.
Yeah.
And I think those two teams would be very close near the bottom. But, yeah, you have to be really concerned about the Cam Newton situation if you're Carolina. And if you got Will Greer, I mean, you can't expect him to be that guy, especially.
Yeah, gotcha. Curtis and Gary, you guys still awake over there?
Oh, yeah, we're awake over there. I'll go first, Curtis. I think the Saints are still the class of that division. And then I think it drops off. I think that Atlanta, Ryan's going to be running for his life. I also watched a little bit of that game. And then I had Tampa Bay ahead of Carolina. And who knows, Cam Newton may be the next surprise retirement out of the league with his health issue.
He likes stripping.
He's going to focus on fashion.
Yeah. Cam.
He likes to wear hair across, man. It costs a lot of money.
Right.
Oh my God!
Well, that's my problem with Cam. I don't know if his head is totally in the football. One of the things I wonder about Cam Newton. You know some of those guys out there's, you know, there's guys out here that their whole demeanor changes after they get that good old butt whooping. And since Cam got that good old butt whooping in that Super Bowl with the Denver defense, Von Miller and such, it seems like, you know, and I've seen that out of guys that get beat up and get the snot beat out of them. And all of a sudden, they're not the same guy anymore. And they're not that big dog anymore. And I kind of see that out of Cam Newton. And I'm not sure he's going to make it through the season. But it's going to be interesting with New Orleans. And we're going to be looking at it. I know I am. Drew Brees is up there. And when these quarterbacks fall off, they fall off a cliff. And Drew Brees, it was kind of sad in the playoffs, he kind of dropped off a bit. Now he's going into another new season, and for them, it should be another long season. We hope he doesn't drop off a cliff. And Matt Ryan is somebody that might be in the Hall of Fame. He's got a good chance of being in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Jameis Winston, like you said, if it's not now, when?
If not when, then how? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jameis has got a lot to prove. But I'm picking Atlanta in that division also.
Appreciate you. Mm. Appreciate you, Curtis. You're my man. I appreciate that. Hey, so this is how we're gonna end this. I know we want to talk about the NFC playoff predictions. Surprisingly, I know what's going to happen with Rob and the Super Bowl predictions. After that, I'm going to throw it to you and JQ and Rob. And then Curtis and Gary, I want you guys to end the show with the Pac-12 predictions, and we will wrap up another edition of Talking Sports, the 12th man. So get that in. If you guys, Curtis and Gary, want to talk about that, we don't have too much time. I know we're, you know, as the East Coasters, we want to get some rest here, but that's how we want to wrap this up and forward here the lady talk about ending the show. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, looking at the NFC, obviously we talked about my division winners here. We got the Saints, Seattle, Minnesota, and the Philadelphia Eagles. So those are my four division winners. On to the wild cards. I have the Rams and the Chicago Bears as my wild cards as of right now. And those are my wild cards. So obviously, looking at the NFC Championship game right now here, in my prediction here, I have the Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles playing for the NFC Championship game this season.
I agree.
Obviously, the Saints 2 years ago had to overcome the Minnesota Miracle. Marcus Williams missed a tackle and they get a touchdown, and we have to overcome what happened last year as well in the NFC Championship game. I think this year the Saints finally knocks the door down. They have the most talented roster in the NFC, and I think they knocked the door down this year. And we got a punt returner now, too. We got a guy that can actually return kicks on this team. So the Saints have even improved their special team. We got a rookie that can actually return punts, ran one back to the house the other night, and he's been a threat in every game in the preseason. So we just added another weapon in the return game for the Saints, so another threat. So I'm picking the Saints to win the NFC, overcome the Minnesota Miracle 2 years ago, overcome what happened in the NFC Championship game, and they finally knock the door down and get back to the Super Bowl this coming year. And the AFC, Chiefs.
Yep.
The Patriots right now, I still think they're the second-best team in the AFC. They just lost their starting center, and that's probably going to be a big hindrance to their team, but I still think they'll find a way to overcome it. I just don't think they'll overcome it to get to the Super Bowl. So I'm looking at a Saints-Chiefs team, the two teams that lost in the championship game last year.
Yes.
to get to the Super Bowl this year in Miami. And the Saints won their first Super Bowl in Miami, and they're going to win their second this year in Miami, 34-31 over the Chiefs in Miami.
Hey, that's the Prince Purple Rain halftime performance. I remember that. I can't really knock the. I mean, outside of some of the division winners, I kind of agree though. I think it's the Chiefs and I think it's the Saints, and I know the NFL would do cartwheels into back handsprings into front nose in the offices if they get that kind of Super Bowl with those two offenses going against each other. I don't know who I want to win quite yet, but Yeah, exactly.
No.
Ohio State.
Oh my
he knows. He knows me.
Oh my god.
But I'm not gonna put my Super Bowl winner out there. When we talk about NFC predictions, I that Saints team is gonna be hard to knock out. I just really do. I'm always gonna go with the best quarterback. It's Drew Brees.
I'm not hating on you. I get you, bro. Seriously, it's all good. I'm not hating.
State.
I think the Saints I think the Rams are gonna have a massive they're gonna like collapse in some way somehow. That's me. That's me. Because they predict like what certain the teams that make it aren't gonna make it back the next year. There's like what four teams that don't make it, new teams that make the playoffs.
I don't think
they're gonna
have a massive collapse like I initially thought.
I'm saying they're gonna drop off.
But I think they're still gonna be a playoff team.
Okay.
I think they'll still be a playoff team. I initially thought they could drop considerably behind Seattle. I think Seattle still wins that division, but I think the Rams still is a playoff team.
There's a lot of questions.
The Rams and the Cowboys.
Yeah,
the Rams and the Cowboys
the
are my wild card.
That's the crazy thing. So it's crazy because that's what I'm saying. I still think that the Todd Gurley thing is a little bit more that we got to look into. Man, there's something up with that, man. So that office takes on a little different thing without having Todd Gurley. I'm just saying. So, again, keep an eye on that situation. That's what's going to figure out that squad. Not to say that they can't overcome certain things, but that is something that could definitely look at. That's me. That's just my opinion. Again, everyone has their own thing and whatnot, too. Hey, Curtis and Gary, go ahead and talk about the Pac-12 really quickly before the lady cuts us off, too. So the Pac-12 predictions, and we'll wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, Washington and Oregon are huge rivals. And one of the things I'm going to say about the Pac-12, if you guys want to look at something – look at the coaching in the Pac-12. Yeah, look at the guys coaching on all the different teams in the Pac-12. And there are some really classy, really excellent coaches in this Pac-12. It's going to be scary for every Pac-12 team that has to go into Utah this year. And there are some predictions out here that Utah – might win the conference, but
Lee Corso.
But Justin Hubert, I think Phil Knight wants him to be the number one draft choice in the NFL this year, because that kind of notoriety gives Phil Knight University some big time notoriety. So I'm picking Oregon and I'm picking Justin Hubert to look like the guy that's going to be the number one draft choice.
That's kind of a surprise, Rob picking the Saints, by the way. But go ahead. I'm shocked. Go ahead.
We started the show with 20 minutes of Cowboy talk, and every one of you gave us no love with your picks. I'm a little disappointed in that. Just remember,
I took the Cowboys as my wild card.
Okay, well, that's a little wild. But just remember,
he did say that. Yeah.
Okay, well, just remember that it's not an 8-game season, you know. So Philadelphia is going to have to figure out a plan B, and the Cowboys win the division.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Just too many question marks for me to safely pick the Cowboys right now.
Well,
do I think Zeke Elliott is going to be back by the season start? I do. But until I know that for sure, it's hard for me to pick the Cowboys right now. Just too many question marks with the Cowboys right now. Amari Cooper, you know, I think he's going to be ready by week one. He's coming off an injury. Just too many question marks for me to safely pick them. The talent is there. The Cowboys have the talent to be a Super Bowl contender. There's no doubt about it. But until all these questions around the organization is answered, it's just hard for me to pick them at the moment. Like I said, that could change. But at the moment, it's just tough for me to predict them to win over the Eagles when they have had an offseason full of consistency with their roster and with their players in camp and gelling and getting that chemistry together. And it's just kind of hard for me to pick the Cowboys over them at the moment. But getting to the Pac-12, I'm picking Utah and Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. Washington and Oregon is going to be something to see. Jacob Eason and Justin Herbert, I think is going to be – I think the difference
– great,
the only
robbery.
Reason I'm picking Oregon over Washington in the North, Washington depth is not going to be as strong as there has been in years past this year. But they can still have a very good team. And I think Jacob Eason is can have a big-time year as well. So it's going to come down – Utah's going to run away with the South. It won't even be close.
Mm-hmm.
USC won't be good this year. Utah's going to run away with the South. And I just think Utah is a veteran team, and that's what's going to catapult them to winning the Pac-12 championship. I mean, Tyler Huntley is a 3-year starter for Utah. He's a senior. Zach Moss, hell of a running back for Utah as well. He's also a senior. And they got a lot of NFL prospects on their defense. Maybe not first-round picks, but they got a lot of guys that's going to get drafted in the middle rounds next year on that Utah defense. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. Next season. And I really like that team. Obviously, Oregon's got Justin Herbert. C.J. Verdell, that running back, is going to be solid as well. Had over 1,000-yard rushing as a freshman. He's going to be a sophomore this year. And then when you look at Washington, it's all about Jacob Eason. He has a big-time season. He could possibly catapult them into winning at North. But right now, I should go Utah, Oregon, with Utah winning the Pac-12.
The Pac-12 officials, are they going to let that happen? If you don't stop it, the Pac-12 is not going to let Utah win the Pac-12. I don't care what they got to do. They're going to pull the power. They're going to take the Gatorade. They're going to do something. They are not going to let Washington, Oregon not win the Pac-12. I just do not believe that. They're like, yeah, well, here you go. Here you go, conference committee. Take Utah. They're not going to do that. And I'm not saying you're wrong about what they have, you know, on their team, but the Pac-12 is not going to look up at each other and say, you know what, Utah. We got it with Utah. We're getting in with Utah. It's just, I just don't believe it. I'm a conspiracy theorist sometimes, and this is one of the times where I'm just going to put it out there. I just don't think they're going to look and say, I saw what happened with the Big 12 with Baylor and TCU and Ohio State snuck in and won the title. We're not putting Utah out there to get left out. I just can't see it happening. That's just me.
Yeah.
Well, you got a point there. Phil Knight doesn't see that happening either.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Well, I've got Rob, in our last predictions for the NFC South, I picked the Saints. I'm retracting that and I'm going with Atlanta because at this point right now I can't pick the Saints. I might be able to later, but not right now. There are too many question marks.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Drew Brees going to drop off a cliff.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Gentlemen.
Hey, I'm just
gentlemen,
being
America.
That's all.
America. This is what we like to do.
Yeah, I don't hate Oregon.
He's talking about the Cowboys, too. It's all good, man. Hey, America,
but I tell you what,
appreciate you checking
it's
in.
It's going to be – Washington is a team that's going to be intriguing to watch because Jacob Eason, man, this dude is like 6'6", 230 with a rocket for an arm. If he can improve his accuracy, they got some weapons at the receiver position in Washington. Like I said, their entire roster doesn't have a lot of depth, but their passing game should be very good. Very good with his arm strength and the weapons that they have at wide receiver. Watch Washington as well.
curious to see what's going to happen with Jacob Easton in the draft if he comes out, man, because, again, that's going to be a very interesting scenario.
The draft, yeah.
I got a second-round grade on him right now.
Crazy?
He's got
isn't
potential
that crazy?
To move up.
He looks the
you
part
know they
for
will.
Sure, man. Hopefully, oh, man, just there you go. Keep an eye on him, JQ. You're quarterback of the future there. Anyway, gentlemen.
Right.
Before the lady cuts out on us, man, Rob, we appreciate you guys, Curtis and Gary. Again, great, great talk. JQ, way to add some flavor, even though you're going back and forth with Rob, man, and the Buckeyes, man. You're cracking me up, man. It's all in good fun. But, Rob, as much as I hate to wrap this up with you, but let's go ahead and end another edition of the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Once again, we're going to be off next week. We're going to be returning on Tuesday, September 10th, 2 weeks from tonight, Tuesday, September 10th. They'll be following the opening week of the NFL and the second full weekend of college football. So we have a lot to recap when we get back on the air with you. We're going to be in a stretch run of the pennant races as well. So we have a lot of football, a lot of baseball to cover with you when we return on September 10th. You don't want to miss it. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. My college football predictions, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State will be the four teams in the playoffs. As much as I hate Georgia, this year I think they get their breakthrough. They win the SEC, and they win the national championship. Big Brown, running back, DeAndre Swift. That offensive and defensive line for Georgia is going to be a beast, and they win the national championship this year, as much as I hate them Bulldogs. Good night, people.
I love today. First of all, I appreciate everybody for downloading the podcast. This has been awesome. I like that four. I really do. I like that four. But I'm going to wait till we get back to choose a national champion, because I don't want to just do it in the heat of the moment and say something weird and crazy like, yo, Ohio State. I have a lot of Clemson friends, and Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. But the Alabama wide receiver core is going to be so stupid. I just need a second to really think about it, like, for real, like, take all the emotion out of it and look at it and say, okay, I'm gonna pick these teams to win the national championship, because I'm struggling with it. Those are my four, so I'll agree with Rob. Those are my four, but I'm not quite ready yet to put out there on air who I think is going to win the national championship. So y'all stay tuned and come back. I'm going to try to make sure I get it together for September 20th. But those four, I love it a lot.
Ohio State is why you love that one.
Alabama
defense
line won't be as strong as years past, but they'll still be
totally
good.
Totally mess with you.
Yeah, no, I like
gentlemen.
Those four.
Again, I know you do. Hey, Curtis and Gary, we appreciate your insight as well. Gary, thank you for the love for Atlanta, even though I don't know if that's just in spite or anything. But, again, we're keeping an eye on the situation.
We're keeping an eye on
what's happening, breaking news, with what's happening with the Cowboys, because they are clearly a story to be storied. But, again, have some fun with that. Gentlemen, please, please be safe over the weekend, over Labor Day, as you guys make your plans, all that fun stuff. That's why we're here. But, again, so the next one. Next week, have some fun, and literally, don't do anything I wouldn't do, especially you, Rob. Don't be drinking or anything like that. Have some fun, guys. America,
you need to be talking
to
GQ.
Soon.
Hey,
Curtis,
I'm going to be at Alabama Duke. I'm going to the Alabama Duke game, Chick-fil-A kickoff.
There it is.
Well, this phone's breaking up, so we're going to have to say goodnight from Pacific Northwest.
I like
Northwest.
Talk to you guys
next week. Yep.
Good night, people.
Good day. Good night, people.